Well, kicking off this hour, we want to talk about the rise in STIs and the threat of monkeypox here in the city of Detroit. Clinics that treat sexually transmitted diseases are already struggling to contain a huge increase in infections such as syphilis and gonorrhea, and they now find themselves near the front lines in this new fight to control the rapidly growing monkeypox outbreak here in the U.S. How are they coping? And are we paying enough attention to the threat of monkeypox? And how could all this affect you? Joining us live in studio right now is Dr. Shira Heisler, Medical Director of the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic. Welcome to Culture Shift, Shira.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Glad to have you on the show today. We want you to join the conversation as well. Are you concerned about the threat of monkeypox? Are you worried about the public health response to it, especially here in the city of Detroit, here in the Southeast Michigan region? You can join the conversation 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019, as we talk to Dr. Shira Heisler here on the show. All right, Shira. So one of the big things that is important to get out about this growing threat of monkeypox is that although it is affecting a certain community right now here in the U.S., that is beginning to change a bit. It is not considered an STI, but is considered ancillary to sexually transmitted diseases. Can you go into how monkeypox is being viewed by the medical community right now?
Yeah, I mean, now it's this outbreak. This is the biggest outbreak that globally that we've seen of monkeypox. This historically is not the way it's been transmitted. And so we are still doing research on if it is truly also an STD. We do know that right now it is sexually associated. A huge New England Journal of Medicine article came out early July 21st or something early around then and talked about around 500 cases in the beginning of the epidemic from April to June. 96% of them were men having sex with men, and as well as there was a very high where they were happening was seeming to be at sexual activities and encounters such as saunas or raves or bathhouses. We are seeing that in Detroit as well. All the positive cases that I've seen, or majority of them, over 90%, are coming from these big kind of close encounter events that seem to be sexually related.
Okay, and so when we're talking about there are cases here in Detroit then, what are the numbers on that? And do you have numbers for the Southeast Michigan region as a whole?
Yeah, so I just looked this up on the CDC. It was around 28 yesterday for the state of Michigan. Here, what I have seen myself in our clinic is we're around 6.
Okay. And so one of the things we want to do during this conversation is definitely spread awareness that, although, as we said, it's hitting certain communities the most right now, that is not going to remain the case.
Correct. Now, I want to be kind of adamantly clear. This is not a gay disease. No virus or bacteria can pick. They don't care what sexual orientation you are. But how viruses and bacteria spread is commonly through networks. So if you look at some type of meningitis, that was spread through college kids, right? So yes, right now it is in the men having sex with men community and network that will expand, just as it always does. These networks interconnect and interlap. So yes, anyone can be affected and infected from this, but right now it is unfortunately predominantly affecting this one group.
And we're talking to Dr. Shira Heisler. She is the medical director of the Detroit Public STD Clinic. You can join the conversation if you have some questions about this growing threat of monkeypox or, you know, other issues in that general arena happening. 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. All right, as we're spreading this awareness of what this disease, who it's affecting, what it can possibly do, we need to go into some of these early symptoms. As the medical director of the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic, what have you seen on the front lines as far as people coming in with especially early symptoms, trying to catch it early if they have monkeypox?
Right. So one thing is that catching it early, we commonly see, we call it a prodrome kind of symptoms before the rash appears. So that's fever, muscle aches, exhaustion, and fatigue are really common. However, those are nonspecific, so you can have them with anything. We're also living in a COVID world, right? So you see that also. So that maybe wouldn't make people aware. And we also don't have a blood test to test for that time. We only can test an actual lesion. So the rash can appear as a blister in a pimple. It can be itchy. It can be painful. Historically, there used to be multiple lesions. Now we're seeing in this outbreak, as I said in that New England Journal of Medicine, we can just see one lesion. But if you come in and you even just see one lesion, we can swab it and then send it out to test to see if it's monkeypox and then give guidance.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And so just kind of, if you have any of these symptoms, please isolate. This can spread very close contact. That's how it spreads, through linens, through sheets, through clothes. So please kind of towels. Those are kind of ways that we can transmit it. So again, not just sexually at all. And so if you notice a lesion, be thoughtful of that in terms of how you are isolating and make sure you cover up the lesions. And wearing a mask is really important.
Okay, so it can spread through the air and through touching of fabrics and touching of skin-to-skin contact.
Yes,
as well.
But I do want to make it clear, kind of, you know, we're all kind of post-COVID and COVID. This does not have the contagiousness of COVID, right? Whereas like kind of how we're so close together right now with COVID, you could easily, that's not how it's close contact in respiratory droplets, close contact.
Could such people avoid or be at least more careful if they're going to a place like a sauna or a gym even?
Yes. I would say be more careful, be thoughtful about, kind of what activity you're doing right now.
So I'm also curious, when you're talking about these symptoms of, unfortunately this far in the world of COVID, we're kind of used to maybe not feeling quite so well or feeling a little tired, a little run down. I mean, the world is pretty crazy right now. A lot of people feeling pretty run down. But in specifically to the point where they should take concern about those kind of symptoms, should they wait to see a lesion that they don't recognize, or should they at least get in touch with you guys and say, hey, I'm not feeling good. Will I be able to get in if something else happens?
Yes, totally. So unfortunately, there's no blood test. We don't have what we call serology testing, that we're not recommending serology testing. So as opposed to syphilis, I can test you in the blood. Here, we don't have that. So if someone came to me with those symptoms, I would say, please isolate right now. If a lesion develops, please call me and come in right away and we will test for it. And go from there and see if treatment is indicated.
And now we've heard a few people who, if they looked into this, there is a vaccine available for monkeypox, but is not specifically geared toward monkeypox, it's geared toward smallpox. What is the situation with that?
Yeah, so this is a really difficult situation we are in right now. So just to be clear, this is for the vaccine has nothing to do if you already have it. So if you have symptoms, that's not what the vaccine is for. The vaccine is to prevent it. We do not have enough doses at all. So Michigan got, in their first allotment, 1,700 total doses for the whole state. This is normally a two-dose regimen, 28 days apart. The state just came out at the end of last week and moved it to a one-dose regimen so we can spread this out further with hopefully delayed second dose, just not at the 28-day interval. And the eligibility, kind of when we talk about vaccines, when it's not available, these lead to really big ethical questions. Who gets it? What makes you eligible? And it's really complicated.
Have you seen what's been happening in New York public health clinics? We talked a little bit before we went on air, but there has been, at least on Twitter, a lot of people complaining that in New York, the form that a potential patient or someone who wants the vaccine has to fill out is quite specific in who they're willing to give this monkeypox vaccine to. Do you know anything about that situation?
Yeah, well, we're not doing forms. I myself am doing the screening. It's coming directly to my phone line. So I can talk to you about Michigan. So Michigan, there's this big difference on, are we doing PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, or post-exposure prophylaxis? We do not have enough doses, unfortunately, to be doing true PrEP for the vaccine. If we did, I think we'd be in a different scenario. Now we're doing post-exposure prophylaxis. Late on Friday, I think it was Friday, the state came out with updated guidelines and who is eligible. So I want to make that aware, and I understand there are complicated dynamics with this, but we're in a tough spot because we have limited amount of vaccines. So you are eligible first if in the past 14 days you had a close contact to somebody who has monkeypox. The second criteria is if you were at an event such as a ball, such as a bathhouse, such as a sauna, such as a resort with known monkeypox in the past 14 days. And lastly, which they expanded it to, if you are a man having sex with men, a trans woman having sex with men, or gender non-binary having sex with men and have over two or more partners in the past 2 weeks. These are very intimate questions to ask people, but we are trying to get the most at-risk people because we just don't have enough for everybody.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Shira Heisler, Medical Director of the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic, talking about the looming threat of monkeypox cases here in the city and how local clinics and the local public health system is handling it. If you have questions for Dr. Shira Heisler, you can call 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019 to join the conversation. You know, something that has, I feel like public health officials have been sounding this alarm for a while, that funding for these clinics and funding for these kind of outbreaks is not nearly enough to what it should be to handle this public health crisis.
100%. Before monkeypox came out, and now still, syphilis is a huge issue in Detroit. So is gonorrhea. I do not have the staff to be managing all of this. And yeah, and because this is now, we call sexually associated, the whole monkeypox burden is coming onto our clinic. We are understaffed, we are underfunded, and trying to keep our community healthy, and it's a difficult time.
Is there any conversations that you or those officials leading up, the DMC, Wayne State here, you have any conversations happening about an influx of funding that could happen from the government to kind of help handle this?
You know, I will say the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic, we are fully funded by the state health department. And I'm working with the state all the time. They have been trying to get extra funding, meaning like it's at the top levels and it's been level funding for years. And it's been kind of on the national level. It just keeps on getting cut. We don't have a focus or I don't know, an interest or a care. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah, we need more funding and it's been not there for many years. This was bound to happen.
Would you say one of the most dangerous parts about this potential threat of monkeypox is that people are sort of compartmentalizing it to it is an STD or it's not going to affect them? It's affecting a different community the same way we did in those early days of the HIV virus?
100%. I think that's kind of what's been really hard, is that there's a lot of echoes here of this is only the gay community. This doesn't affect me. Well, first of all, we saw with HIV, it doesn't only affect gay people. Second of all, this is primarily spread through close contact. So anybody can get it. Meaning if you have lesions and you're hanging out with people, they can get it if they're close contact. And I think that one thing we really need to do, what's really complex here, is how do we not stigmatize, perpetuate homophobia when we currently have an infection that's primarily already affecting a group that's already been stigmatized and marginalized? How do you navigate those two things? And we're kind of constantly trying to hold those two things and make sure we're not causing harm.
We're going to get to Tia Graham in a moment because we have been taking your calls, 313-577-1019, if you'd like to join the conversation, have questions for Dr. Shira Heisler. But before we do, while we're talking about that close contact and lesions, how close a contact are we talking about? If you're passing someone in a crowded store, a crowded grocery store, do you have to worry? Should people be covering more? I mean, what should they be looking for?
So my big thing is that I want to implore people who have lesions, make sure they are covered up. But we are not seeing true kind of like hospital transmission or clinic transmission or in the grocery store. That's not that. It's close contact. Like not just passing somebody, but really like you're with them for like 15 minutes and giving each other hugs or even handshakes. If you have active lesions or you're even in the fever, muscle ache phase, you are still infectious.
All right, Tia?
Yes, yes, yes. So Nancy called in. She didn't have time to actually speak with you live, but she wanted to know, what do the lesions actually look like?
Yeah, so we are seeing they go through phases, which is also interesting. So they start off as kind of a blister or a pimple, and then they can kind of rupture, and then they can scab over, but you are still infectious through that whole time. Now we are seeing, again, this is interesting and new in this new outbreak, they are commonly now in the genital and anal area. We hadn't seen that before. Again, now because of the new sexually associated, meaning close contact in those areas, we're now seeing lesions in those areas. But they initially appear as a pimple, a blister that is itchy and painful, and it will transition and then ultimately scab over.
Yeah, and we had one more question in here. Someone said they heard a little bit about monkeypox and that it's not so much that gay men are the primary group getting monkeypox. They're being tested more. Is that something that's being seen?
So we are only testing people who have active lesions. So I will say, in this study from the New England Journal of Medicine, in the past 4 months, out of some 500 patients, it was 96 to 98% men having sex with men. So I don't think there is kind of what we call like a testing bias. I could say possibly maybe could have had that with syphilis, where we screen for it in the blood. But here, we aren't. It's only by lesions. So I don't think that is kind of what's happening.
And one of my last questions here before we get to a phone call again. We talked a little bit about the gym and different places. I'd love to get back in the gym soon. Should we be wearing our masks in the gym when we have the spread of monkeypox?
It's a great question. Well, first of all, I mean, we're also still in COVID and in BA5 variant. So yes. I think with that, we should also still be kind of in a gym doing that. But I think it's maybe worth thinking about. I think that if you are going to a big ballroom or even a sauna or a gym, it's maybe worth thinking about.
All right.
We're talking to Dr. Shira Heisler, the medical director of the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic, about this threat of monkeypox and how it is affecting the city of Detroit. And any questions you might have or be concerned about right now, we'll take your questions for the next few minutes here. 313-577-1019. Archer, what is the next big point about this looming threat that you feel is really vital to get out to the public?
So I want to get out. So right now, even though we are low on doses, we have them here. We have them at Oakland County. We have them at our clinic, the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic, and we have them at the Detroit Health Department. So those are the places, if you feel that you are at risk, you will go through a screening eligibility, and I urge you to do that. So we can get more, kind of the state health department wants us to get more shots in arms so we can try and get this outbreak under control. And that kind of just to us be thoughtful. I really am a provider that wants to be very sex positive and do go enjoy party. This I do want to say, maybe I'm telling my friends, I'm telling my patients, these are really, really difficult times. Right now we're seeing a lot, like at one bathhouse, I'm seeing a ton of people are coming to me with a ton of lesions and they all were there and then they were all at a different ballroom. So I do want us to just be thoughtful where we're going and what type of events we're going to and just taking precautions and spreading awareness with your friends and family and asking. I think it's okay to ask, hey, have you not been feeling too well? And just kind of just so we're creating a community that supports each other and is honest with each other so we all can stay safe.
Are you seeing any cases of monkeypox that don't have lesions? Or is that right?
We wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. Okay.
We wouldn't know.
Is it transmissible without lesions?
Great question. It is transmissible in the prodromal phase, which is that muscle aches fever phase. I don't know. It would be kind of the real nature of the infection is that prodromal phase and the rash. So I don't think if you don't have a rash, it probably isn't monkeypox, but who knows? We're in the middle of research. We're still trying to figure it all out.
A lot of stuff we don't know. Let's go to a question now from Jen in Royal Oak. You are joining Culture Shift, Jen.
Hi. Thank you so much for doing this. This is so important, and I think that there's just not enough information out there about this. My question specifically is about what happens after you've had monkeypox, does it completely leave your system, or does it stay in your system in a dormant way? I understand it's not an STI, but that is something that, you know, like with herpes or like HPV, like you can be a carrier, not have symptoms, or you can have had it once or twice and then still pass it on. So I'm just curious how, if there's been any research that, you know, how that's going to work out. I know it's very early in the stages, but I think that's important if there's any information on that.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah.
Great. Thank you for that question. So one thing I did want to clarify, which is interesting, this is coming out, this outbreak is appearing differently, but this isn't a new virus. This isn't a novel virus like coronavirus was. So we do know some stuff about it. Now, just like as you mentioned, herpes and HPV, we do not think that that is what's happening with monkeypox. It is self-limited and you get it and it can last up to 2 to 4 weeks, but then it is gone. You are correct. Herpes lays dormant in your body. But this is that is not this situation.
Thank you so much for that call, Jen. We're talking to Dr. Shira Heisler, the director of the Detroit Public Health STD Clinic. If you have any questions, 313-577-1019. A few minutes left in this conversation. So if you'd like to ask a question, do give us a call right now. Something I'm curious about, Shira, is the way that this virus is happening now in the midst of COVID. At the beginning of COVID, at least, we saw that the entire shutdown, the lockdown that happened. And so people were away from, a lot of people, at least not everybody, away from their jobs for a while. But, you know, the healthcare system in this country is really quite wrecked. And a lot of people do not have the ability to take sick days or take illness days. So if they are not feeling well, even if they do make a leash, they might not be able to take days off. Is there any sort of conversation or plan about putting, something in place, some sort of government, you know what I'm saying, to let people take that time off to kind of stop this pox?
So I really appreciate you bringing that up. That is a big issue. The initial guidance for monkeypox, if you had lesions, was 21 days. That is a lot of time for people to take off work. Or when we say isolate, people don't have homes where they can be totally isolated, especially because this is now contact. So something actually that the CDC came out with yesterday, which I was pushing kind of the state health department, and then CDC did this already, so it's great, is a harm reduction approach. If you have lesions, they are saying, and you can't stay home for 21 days, cover them up. A lot of the times they're in the genital and anal area. Those are already covered up. And then they are also recommending to wear a mask to not spread it through respiratory droplets because you are infectious. So that is kind of this new, once we saw it, my patients are like, I'm not getting paid for 3 weeks. It's unreasonable. And so I'm really happy the CDC came out with a harm reduction approach, which is covering up the lesions and wearing a mask.
Okay, we're going to wrap up with you in a second, but one more question that I had, because I've been seeing, and we definitely want to have you back as this situation is continuing to unfold, but one thing I was seeing online were people warning that do not wear clothes home from the mall. If you're buying clothes out, if you are, maybe even be careful out at laundromats. A lot of people do use laundromats, that not all soaps or laundry soaps can take care of this virus. So washing clothes when you get them home from the thrift store or the store itself or at the laundromat, do you know anything about that?
So I want to say, just as COVID was, this is evolving. If I come back in 2 weeks, I may have a different answer. But right now, that isn't where it's being spread. So I don't want to kind of overwhelm and instill fear. You can't go to the laundromat. You can't go to the grocery store. That's not what's happening. That's not, you know, I'm seeing and swabbing and I'm not afraid. So, and I'm very up close to it. I mean, I'm wearing PPE, but I'm saying we are not seeing at all in this outbreak yet that it is happening in that form, as you just mentioned. So I really don't want people to kind of get up in arms and have this be a reason to like re-stoke severe homophobia and stuff like that. That's not what's happening.
Okay. Thank you so much for clearing that up. And we will definitely have you on again in the future here on Culture Shift. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to the show here on 101.9 WDET-FM. Again, the show is Culture Shift. Coming up next here, we'll get into the latest edition of Sam's Jams. I'll also tell you about tonight's What's So Funny About Detroit Comedy Showcase happening again at the Old Miami. Lots of good stuff coming up here on WDET.